Welcome to Lecture 22, everybody, in this American History program of History at Our House for the elementary class. We are going to begin today with a facts practice for those folks who are ready to do it, and we are going to repeat this exercise every day this week until it starts to become a comfortable practice for us, that everybody's ready to do it, and then once we are really good at it, we are going to reduce it to twice a week, Mondays and Wednesdays probably. But this week we're going to do it every day so that you can get into the groove of it. So let me remind you what we're going to be doing here. I'm going to share my desktop with you and take you to the facts practice. So this is the lower elementary webpage for those of you who are in that level, right? So if I click on the October link, and it carries me through to the Lecture 21 resources from last week. I'm going to make a special page just with these on it, but for now we only have two. And so, as promised, we're going to start with the very first one. So I would click on that, and then that facts practice will come up. Well, it depends how your computer works, right? But it's going to come up on your screen. And everybody should be printing out a few copies of these to practice at home and to practice in class. And so what we are going to do is a timed exercise. Mr. Powell is going to start a stopwatch. I'm actually thinking of trying to find a stopwatch online. That would be kind of cool. And so maybe I could do that really quickly. It's onlinestopwatch.com. Perfect. All right, stopwatch. There we go. Hey, look at that. Isn't that awesome? So what's going to happen is Mr. Powell is going to say, on your mark, get set, go, and he's going to hit start. And when you are done, you look up on the screen, and you will see how long it took you to finish the exercise. And you will write that down on the top of the page, and that will become your personal standard to beat. And you will work every day to get faster and faster at this. And it's only a personal exercise. It doesn't matter how fast anybody else is. It matters only how well you are doing and if you are better than you were the last time. Okay? And I am not going to record this exercise for the recorded students. I'm just giving you the spiel here. For those of you who are on the recordings, I definitely would like you and I would encourage you to mimic everything we do in the live class. So if I say I'm doing a facts practice with my live students today, you should be doing a facts practice when you listen to the recordings too. All right? But I'm not going to record 4 minutes of dead time of the class for everybody here. I have kind of done that in the past, which was a little bit lazy of me. But now I'm going to really make an effort to not record the facts practice live sessions. Just indicate that they're being done. Then I'm going to pause the recordings of the class, and you who are in the recordings don't have to listen to us do it, okay? Which is just a bunch of people scribbling on paper, basically for 4 minutes or something. All right. So anyway, does anybody want to ask a quick question or get a clarification of some sort before we begin? Because I know it's the first time, and I imagine for some of you, you've never done anything like this before. So Abby, go ahead.
What is the facts practice 1B for?
That is for the next time. That is for later. Once we are masters of 1A, then we are going to mix things up and do 1B, and then I'm going to give you another one called 1C, and so on. Okay, Jeremy, what's your question?
How will we tell you when we're done?
You don't have to tell me. You look up on the screen when you are done, and you will see what the clock says, and then you write it down. See, so you don't have to tell me. It's your personal time. It's your personal time, and you don't have to feel embarrassed about it or feel like you're racing against anybody else. Okay, put your hand down, Jeremy. Let's see. Caleb, what about you?
So we're even going to be doing the facts practice in history through art?
Only this week, just to get things rolling, okay?
Okay.
All right, not usually. Usually it's going to be Monday and Wednesday only. Patrick, go ahead.
Are we going to have a certain amount of time?
Oh, good question. Are you going to have a certain amount of time? Yes. Today you are going to get 5 minutes. Because I timed Patrick earlier, and I think that he can do it in 5 minutes. In fact, I think that when he is done, he will be able to do it in 2 minutes. But right now, he's struggling because it's new. So I'm going to give you guys 5 minutes. That's more time than you need, but I'm going to give you 5 minutes today. All right? And you're going to see how long it takes you. And maybe I'll check with you guys to see how quickly you guys were at it, and then maybe we'll adjust. But honestly, this should be a 2-minute exercise. That's the goal. Less than 2 minutes. Okay, a few more questions here. Wyatt and Henry.
I have a question about the sheet.
Okay.
Some people might not be the best at writing, but they are the best at remembering stuff. So they're able to remember them, but they lose a lot of time working on writing them.
Yep, I understand that. That is understandable. And if that is the case, then you know what it is that you need to work on. Okay, so let the exercise be a measurement of what you are good at and what you are not as good at. And you know in your own mind whether or not you remember the fact quickly and can do it quickly. But if it's your handwriting that needs work, then, well, guess what? It's your handwriting that needs work. So you can go ahead and use the facts practice as a way to encourage yourself to improve that. Okay? Because it should be possible for you to do this. So it's a matter of improving ourselves, then that's all. All right? Jeremy, put your hand down. Christopher, you have the last question because I know you're new to the class. Go ahead.
Oh, okay. I have two. First, why didn't my mom tell me about print these out?
I don't know, but honestly, you are new to the class, so it's not entirely fair for you to have to do this exercise. What's your second question?
And also, how do you find the printout?
It's right on the class webpage, as I just showed you guys when I was navigating through the class webpage. Okay, so it's right there on the last lecture, as promised. Okay, so that's enough questions. If you aren't sorted out yet, we gotta move anyway. All right, so over the next 5 minutes, I'm going to be conducting this exercise with the students in class, but I am going to be pausing the recording. So just give me a second to manage that. And so you guys on the recording will not hear us do the exercise. All right, we are done our 5-minute exercise here in class. If you are not able to complete the exercise in the 5 minutes, what you do is you just write 5 minutes at the top. And you can start practicing more often. Every day, if you practice at least once a day, and then you get back to class and you do it one more time, I guarantee you it'll go faster and faster. And I have one tip to show you today. I have one tip to show you, which I consider to be valid, and I'm gonna show you a little trick here. So using, for instance, number 4 for the lower elementary, I consider the following to be a valid way of answering number 4. Founding fathers sign and then, of course, over here. Okay, I consider this to be a valid answer. So what did I do, which is kind of tricky here? What did I do? What do we call this, Patrick?
Acronym?
Well, it's kind of an acronym. You're right, it is, which is a certain kind of. Abby?
Abbreviation.
Abbreviation, right. Acronym or abbreviation. Excellent. Okay? And, of course, Christopher is asking, what is DOI? Well, if you don't know, guess what? You don't get to write it. So that's the way that abbreviations work on the facts practice. If you don't know it, you can't use it. So Patrick and I have been talking about this. And so Henry, or I think you were asking about how fast you can go. This can be one of the tricks that you use. If you're not as fast in your writing, you can use certain abbreviations. So I will allow it. But the rule is the following. You may not abbreviate unless you understand the meaning instantly. If I have to ask you, what is DOI? And you spend 3 to 5 seconds thinking about it before you answer me, not good enough. You are not allowed to use an abbreviation on facts practice unless you know instantly what it stands for. But you are allowed to use them in some cases. Okay? Now, I'm not going to answer any more questions about facts practice today, I'm afraid, because we have dedicated a lot of time to it, and we need to move on. So everybody put your hands down. I know you may still have some pressing issues, but we are going to come back to this tomorrow and give you a chance to ask more questions. But basically, we will repeat this tomorrow. So go ahead and have the same sheet ready and practice it at home and be ready to do it tomorrow. Tomorrow, I'm not going to give a long spiel. I'll still give people a chance to ask a few questions, but we're going to get into it faster. And every time we do it, it will be a quicker and easier exercise, and it will take up less and less time. Okay? So good luck with that. Today, our class is about, well, I've entitled it, Before the Rebirth. Before the Rebirth. So, if I go back to our main class, right? Before the Rebirth, Lecture 22. Last time I was telling you guys that we are going to now study what happened in history around 1492 and the events that are going to bring us, because we know that's when Christopher Columbus discovers America. We're going to look at what the world was like around there and how it changed into being the world that we live in. And three really crucial things happened that made, well, among others, but three really big important things happened that made the world more like the one that we live in. One of them is called the Renaissance, one of them is called the Reformation, and another one is called the Age of Discovery. So those are the three things that we are going to be studying in this part of the course. Okay, and today we are going to focus on something called the Renaissance. And I don't know, I probably have asked this of some of you in this class before, but and I'm going to go ahead and type it on the in the chat box for anybody that would like to know that. Renaissance. Okay, in case you have never seen that word before. But some of you have seen this word before, and some of you even know what it means. So who can help us out here? It is actually not an English word. That's why it might be a confusing word. So it's not an English word. But you know what? We live in an interconnected world, and sometimes we use words from other languages. All right, Abby, go ahead. What is this word, Renaissance?
It means the rebirth.
Okay, rebirth. All right, so I'm going to go equals rebirth. Does anybody know what language Renaissance is from, the word? Dana, go ahead.
French.
French, yes, indeed. Okay, so we use a French word, which is interesting by itself, to say rebirth. And the question that we are going to be looking at this year is rebirth of what? And first of all, actually, even before we can ask the question, rebirth of what, we have to ask an interesting question, which is, what does rebirth mean? That's an interesting word, rebirth. It's another example of a word that has two parts. So a great word that we have studied so far that has two parts would be interconnected. Two parts. Inter and connected. Extra connected, right? Extra levels of connection. Extra betweenness. Okay. Rebirth is also a two-part word. Isn't it? It's a two-part word. Re and birth. Those are the two parts. So, what does that mean? And why is it a two-part word? And what does the word rebirth mean? Let's see here. Who hasn't had a chance yet? Jeremy, did you want to answer that? Put your hand down if that's not your answer, Jeremy. Okay, Dana, go ahead.
Oh, sorry, I forgot my hand.
Oh, my goodness. Two out of two. Three strikes, you're out, you guys. All right, Abby. Help me out here.
It means to be born again.
Okay, birth means to be born. And the re part in any word at the beginning means again. Give me other examples of words that have re at the beginning of them. Other examples of words that have re in the beginning. Replay. If you are going to replay a game, you have to play the game again. Good. Caleb, go ahead.
Reconquista.
Caleb, home run. If you have if you conquered something, then you lost it. You have to conquer it again. Reconquista. Perfect example. Patrick?
Recycle.
Okay, well, that's a tough one because cycle versus recycle, that's kind of a tricky word. So let's keep going. Let's see if we have some other ones. Wyatt, Henry?
Rebuild.
If you build something and then there's an earthquake, then you have to rebuild it, maybe. Okay, excellent, guys. Excellent. Rewrite. If you write something and you have to erase it, then maybe you have to rewrite it. Okay, redo is the most general thing of all, right? To do something again. Okay, so re at the beginning means again. Yeah, reread a passage. Okay, no more examples, thank you. We have more than enough examples to work with now. Good. So we are going to be talking about something called the rebirth. Okay, so now we know what it is. It means there's a birth and it's happening again. Okay. Well, what? Are we talking about a person? No, that can't happen. Okay. So what are we talking about here? Is a very important question. Well, I'm going to take you now back to my desktop and back to our timeline for a second. Not the facts practice, but the timeline. Not the painting either, because I got to open up a different window. All right, there we go. All right. And so, well, I want to challenge you to look at this timeline here for a second. And I want you to notice something that we've already talked about, which is what happens over here in 1776, right? Okay? In 1776, we have the birth of the United States. We have the first government in a long, 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 long time that allows people to be free. But was it the first one ever? Was it the first one ever? Patrick?
No.
Where did we see that before? Go ahead.
Athen Democracy and Roman Republic?
Okay, way over here, much, much earlier in history, there had been the first birth of freedom. The first time that people had created a government that allowed people to be freer. Not necessarily perfect or anything, but it was definitely much better than all of the stuff that happened over here. Big, long, yucky story of ancient monarchies. And then finally over here, two different peoples, the people of Athens and the people of Rome, created the first better governments. And then over here, we got a mess again. Yucky stuff. The Dark Ages. And then finally, phew, it's back! Again, somebody figures out how to make more freedom. Wow, but that's pretty rough, isn't it? We got the first half of human history over there, and nobody figured it out. And then these people over here finally did it, and then it disappeared again. Terrible times. And finally it comes back. See, so there was something that was created the first time, and then it died or it went away, and then it came back. So this is a kind of rebirth, a rebirth of freedom. Okay, but what we are going to see is that it's part of something bigger, something very exciting that Christopher Columbus is even a part of. No more chatting, Christopher. It's also a part of something that Christopher Columbus is a part of and others during a time in history, a whole period in history that historians call the Renaissance. So this is a very exciting time, and we are going to be looking at, well, what was reborn? We already have some guess, or we're thinking about this idea of a better kind of government is being reborn, but we're going to see more things. We're going to see more things, and that's very important. But today, what I'm going to focus on is this idea of the rebirth of the idea of freedom. And of course, before we talk about the rebirth of the idea, what do we need to know? If something is reborn, we know that something else happened before that. What was it, Abby?
The Athenian democracy and Roman Republic?
Yeah, the original birth. What was it like, really? We've been using these words, and I kind of promised you that we'd be talking more about them. And guess what? It's time. It's time, because we have these words, and we better start pinning them down. All right, so today we're going to be working in particular on this particular word. We're going to be talking about the birth of this. What is it? What is democracy? All right. Well, so one thing that it most certainly is not is the rule of one, right? Monarchy. One ruler rules everybody else. Democracy, we can find this word in the dictionary, and sometimes the dictionary will have some interesting things in it. If we go look up the word democracy on the dictionary online, and sometimes in the dictionary it will tell you, where does the word come from? Origin of the word democracy. Okay, and what it says here is, look at this. Really very interesting. It says it used to be a French word, and before that it was, hey, look at that language again that we know a lot about, Latin, the Romans. But even the Romans weren't the first ones to come up with it. Actually, the first guys who came up with it, as we kind of already know from our facts practice, it was the Greeks, the people of Athens. And they had a word called demokratia. Whoops, now my dictionary online is doing some funky things to me that I didn't intend, and I apologize for that. That is really annoying. Oh, why did dictionary.com have to do that to me? I don't deserve that. All right, let's see. Let me see if I can get it back. Hello, dictionary.com. Why did you do that? It's not fair. Sorry about that. So here it is. That's it. I'm not going to use dictionary.com anymore. I'm just going to copy it onto my own page. So what we have here is demos, the Greek word for people. The Greek word for people. And kratos, rule. So a simple version of the word demokratia means the people rule. The people rule. So let me go ahead and chat that to everybody. So demos equals people, and kratia means to rule. So democracy means the people rule. Okay, so wait a minute. So a monarchy, one person rules the people. In a democracy, the people rule. But let me ask you, it's supposed, you know, the definition says the people rule. Okay. Well, let me ask you this. Who do they rule? The people rule. One person rules another person. One person rules somebody. He says, you have to do this. Well, wait a minute. Democracy says the people rule. So, Abby, what do you think of that?
I think that they would rule the government and
they,
make the decisions.
Who's they, Abby?
What? Wait, I didn't hear you.
What do you mean they?
The people would.
The people. Okay, so, but who's the people? And we use this word, the people. What does it mean? How does that really work? The people. Every single person working together rules every single other person? Wait a minute, that's confusing. When you were thinking about one person ruling, is it people make decisions for themselves? No, that's not it, Nemo. That's not it. It's not one person rules themselves and another person rules themselves. In democracy, the group rules. The group, the people, rules. But the question is, who do they rule? So here's how it really works. Here's how it really works. When people get together and they want to make the rules, how do they do it? When we're talking about the people, and we're being careful about how we use that word, what we mean is a bunch of people, a bunch of separate people, individuals get together, and they're a group, and they want to make rules. Well, how do they do that? How do you get, when you have a group of people together, and they want to make the rules, how do they do it? They talk about it, they sit down, they talk things over, and then they come up with a decision. But when there's a lot of people together, is it easy to come up with the decision? Does everybody always agree? When groups of people are together, it's really obvious that people don't agree. In fact, they disagree a lot more often than they agree. I'll give you a funny example. Today, I was in a group of two people. Just two. Never mind three. Never mind 1,000. Never mind 1,000,000. But there was a group of two people. It was me and Patrick. And we were walking the dog. And we came to a very, very simple question. Do we go left or do we go right? The simplest decision possible to two human beings. The smallest possible group and the simplest possible problem. And guess what? We could not agree. Oh my gosh. So wait a minute. You're trying to tell me that we're going to get the people together. We're going to get the people, all of the people together, and they're going to make the rules? Of course not, right? So what does it mean that everybody is going to rule? How does it really work in this thing called democracy if you get a group of people, the people, all of them, and they're going to rule? What does it really mean? How's it really going to work? Abby, do you know?
They're going to vote.
Ah, good. So Abby says, what's going to happen is every individual person is going to say, I want this. I want that. Okay, they're going to vote. Left, vote right, or vote yes, or vote no, right? There's going to be a choice, and you're going to say whether or not you agree or you don't agree. And then, well, how ultimately does that get decided? When the people are working together to make rules for themselves, Nemo has got it carefully sorted out. Nemo, how does it work in the end? Go ahead, Nemo.
If 40 people make a decision and 30 people don't, then all 70 people will make that decision.
Okay, right? We can, right, exactly. So what's that called when most of the people, at least half?
Democracy.
Well, no, you typed it for me. What's the name of that group that's at least half of the people?
Majority rules.
The majority. I don't know if everybody here knows that word yet, but the majority means more than half. The majority with a J, Christopher. The majority means more than half of the people. So when they vote, it's more than half of the people decide. And then what happens? What do you call that group of people that is less than half? What's the opposite? Not the opposite really so much, but just the other group that does not get its way. The smaller group, Abby?
Minority.
Minority. All right, nobody type. No more typing, please. It's Mr. Powell's turn to type. So we have the majority and we have the minority. Okay. So we have two really important ideas. In a democracy, what happens is the group of people, whoever they are, they're living together, they get together to make the rules, and they vote on the decisions, and the majority rules. And the minority has to do what the majority says. So, all right. This is the basic idea of democracy. The real answer is not so much. It kind of looks, you know, we see democracy and we see in the definition it says the people rule. But the truth is, democracy really means the majority rules. Now, what we are going to have to think about, and we're going to come back to this tomorrow, is what happens if the majority is mean? What happens if the rules that the majority makes hurt the minority? What does it say here? It says the majority rules. Abby?
Well, if the majority rules, but they're mean, and the minority will get hurt.
The minority will get hurt. How is that different from one person rules? If you are a person who is being ruled, are you going to be happier if one person is ruling you or a group of people are ruling you? Which one will make you happier? Having one person tell you everything that you should do, or having everybody tell you what you should do and you can't say no? Which one matter? Which one's better? Is one of them better than any of the others? Is it better to have two people telling you what to do? Does that really matter? No, you are still being ruled. You still are not free. So we have a problem. Doesn't matter if you're ruled by one person or two or three or four. So what we're going to see is when the founding fathers, and we are gone over time because of our facts practice today, but won't always go this way, right? But what we're going to see is when the founding fathers made the United States of America in 1776, they definitely did not want a democracy. They said, we are going to have a republic. So now we know what a democracy is, and it's kind of interesting, and we're going to come back to it, because why would the Athenians want to make a democracy? It doesn't sound like it's better, but maybe there are some things about it that might seem better, and we need to think about it. But also, we are going to have to find out, why did the Founding Fathers say no to that? They definitely said a democracy is not good enough. What we're going to do for America is we're going to make a republic. Okay. That's all we have time for today, folks. good luck with your facts practice at home, and good luck with thinking about these questions. And we'll talk to you again tomorrow. Bye for now.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye.